are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Monday, March the 25th, and really a disaster of weekend results complicates the playoff push for the Pistons. This is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in Detroit City, covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Really appreciate you guys doing that. Today we're going to have a quick rundown of the pair of weekend losses for the Pistons, but even worse than that, we'll tell you what else happened over the weekend to cloud what looked like a clear path for the Pistons to the playoffs. Some unfortunate incidences across the league. But we'll also tell you about which Pistons are rooting for teams in the Sweet 16. Try to think of who is still alive in your head of Pistons alma maters in the NCAA tournament, and we will reveal if you were right at the end of the show. But by the way, give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook as well. But the Pistons dropped a pair of games over the weekend, as you probably know by now, on the left coast. Saturday night, late night, 117-112 in Rip City to the Portland Trailblazers, and then again on Sunday, 121-114 to the two-time defending NBA champion Golden State Warriors, who have won three out of their last four NBA titles. And it pushed the Pistons pushed the spread on Saturday and then covered on Sunday. Unfortunately, they did not give you wins or ties for that in the National Basketball Association. The Pistons drop to 5-7 on the second half of back-to-backs and drop to 5-5 on games when the opponent is on the second half of back-to-backs. That is, both of those circumstances were in play on Sunday against the Warriors, although one might argue that you shouldn't include this game in either of those tallies, as since both teams were on the back-to-back, neither had really much of an advantage, and it's kind of a wash there. But the Pistons played one more team on the second half of a back-to-back, and that's Portland in the rematch on Saturday back here in Detroit, although they do play the Knicks on the season's final night, and both teams, just like Sunday night against the Warriors, both teams, the Knicks and the Pistons, will be playing in the second half of a back-to-back in that one. So again, kind of a wash coming up there. But over the weekend, the Pistons dodged C.J. McCollum of the Blazers and then DeMarcus Cousins and Andre Iguodala of the Warriors as they were injured slash rest, depending on the case for each of those players. But the Pistons still lost both those games, as you might expect on a tough West Coast swing through the Pacific Northwest and then California. But 27 points for Blake Griffin on Saturday night, 24 for Reggie Jackson in a losing effort, 19-11 for Andre Drummond, and 13 points off the bench for Luke Kennard. For the Blazers, 28 points for Damian Lillard, who's having an All-NBA type of season. The Pistons led this one 109-103 with 4:28 to go, but were outscored 14-3 the rest of the way as the Pistons' offense went dormant when they needed it most. And then on Sunday, the defense was the issue as Blake Griffin had 24 points, Luke Kennard had 20 off the bench, Thon Maker had 12 points and 6 rebounds in 19 minutes, a strong game from him. Both Luke Kennard and Thon Maker came into the game probable with mild injuries, but they both played well. I also thought that Ish Smith in the second half and Langston Galloway in the first half played well off the bench. The Warriors' lead was 20 in the third quarter. They jumped out after halftime against the Pistons, as they usually do against teams across the NBA. The Pistons made a decent effort late in the game to get back into it, but didn't ever quite feel like they were threatening the Warriors to make a serious comeback and get the win. Had it down to about 10 with 3 or 4 minutes left, but never really got over the hump after that. And then by the time it was down to, you know, 8 points or 7 points or something like that, it was already in the final minute of the game, so that didn't really feel threatening at that point either. Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, those guys are pretty good, in case you didn't know. They made some big shots when the Pistons were semi-threatening a little bit there. So, and that led to the win. 26 points for Curry, 5 out of 10 from 3. 24 points for the other Splash Brother Thompson, 4 out of 6 from 3 for him. So, for the Splash Brothers to go 9 out of 16 kind of from 3 kind of set the tone for the Warriors in this one. They finished 13 out of 25, which is 52% from three, and 62.2% from the field overall. The best overall field goal percentage this season for the Warriors, and the first time that they shot over 60% from the field. Also, the highest field goal percentage that the Pistons have given up this season in a game by a lot. The previous high was 54.5%. And this was now 62.2%, which is high. That's a big number. And it was the ninth game all season that the Warriors shot over 50% from three-point land. And must have been nice to be Kevin Durant. He basically took the night off. He was very efficient, but didn't really do much of anything offensively or defensively. And this is without Boogie and Iguodala, a couple of guys who have racked up a bunch of All-Star games in their careers and could be knocking on the door of the Hall of Fame. We know that the Basketball Hall of Fame is pretty liberal with who they let in. But this is a great team, a great collection of talent, no doubt about that. They will probably win the championship. But watching Durant with those two guys even out rested, just kind of coast through this game, kind of underscores to me that these guys shouldn't really get the benefit of the doubt when we're looking at all NBA teams, individual honors. It's just an overwhelming collection of talent that did the job, certainly, and has been doing the job, and that continued on Sunday against the Pistons. I mean, the team didn't really need them, some of those guys that were out, and certainly Durant on Sunday as well. Steph, although he sat out Saturday and they got killed by Dallas at home, so it seems to be that he is always the guy that they go to when they need big shots. So maybe he's a little different when it comes to those All-NBA lists. But just my two cents on that. If you listen to this show, you probably know my feelings about Kevin Durant. They're not super positive. So that's a trend that will continue throughout the postseason as well. Pistons, by the way, got out-rebounded 37-29 by Golden State. Certainly not normal there, as the Golden State Warriors aren't exactly a juggernaut on the boards, and especially the Pistons with Andre Drummond are one of the better rebounding teams in the league. But the Pistons fall to 37-36 on the season, just one game above 500. They will close out the road trip, which they are now 1-3 on right now, because the Cleveland game was part of the road trip as well. And that will conclude on Tuesday night in Denver before two games at home. That's Thursday against Orlando and then Saturday against the Trailblazers, followed by a home-and-home with Indiana, which is next Monday night on the road, next Wednesday night at home. And hell, let's just do the rest of the schedule. We're almost there already. A day in between each of those games. But after that, they'll go next Friday night at Oklahoma City, home for Charlotte after that, home for Memphis, and then at the New York Knicks to close out the season. Nine games left for the Pistons. But up next, we're going to reset the playoff picture, including some tough weekend results for the Pistons. And hey, I got a new sponsor to tell you about, and that is the Wyze Cam. Wyze is the indoor camera that does it all. Wyze, that's W-Y-Z-E. It's packed with premium features that allow you to see everything from anywhere for $20. 1080p, full HD, images so clear that you won't miss a thing. Night vision, two-way audio. Wyze's mission is to bring amazing smart home products accessible to everyone. Check out on your home anytime with Wyze apps live stream. Connect with life as it unfolds in sharp focus. Just live stream with that 8x digital zoom. They got the free rolling 14-day cloud storage, so you can check that out. No subscriptions, like all those annoying things that keep charging you online. At $20 per camera, you can do anything. You want to watch your kids destroy your house? And here's an idea for you. Maybe you're going to be out of town. Have the old lady set it up by the TV so you can watch George and Greg, a little Fox Sports Detroit action from the hotel. You want some more? Well, they got that too. For just $10 more, the Wyze Cam Pan gives you 360-degree coverage in under 3 seconds. Life moves fast, and your camera should too. 160-degree per second rotation speed, 360-degree horizontal range, and 93 degrees vertical range. I looked it up on the old Amazons compared to some of the others, and those are good numbers. Trust me on that. Control your room with the pan scan. Set the camera's patrol route with up to 4 custom waypoints. Track all the action around the house. Wyze Cam Pan automatically detects, tags, and tracks motion within its field of view, keeping up with life in real time, and it's never been so easy. This works with Alexa. Again, you can use it on your mobile phone from anywhere, and the free rolling 14-day cloud storage, so you can kind of keep tabs on everything throughout your house for a long period of time. Go to wyze.com/locked. Again, that's Wyze, WYZE.com/locked, to get the guaranteed lowest price. Hear from Locked On Pistons.
Yes, sir!
A little bit later on, we're going to talk about the Sweet 16 from the Pistons' perspective. But by the way, you can get Locked On Podcast on the brand new podcasting app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all those other great places that you've been listening to this show. And when you get in your car, of course, go ahead and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Pistons. But hey, also on Sunday, congratulations to Zaza, the favorite Georgian from the Republic of Georgia, for the Detroit Pistons. He got a ring at Golden State for their only visit to Oracle this season, and they get the Piston center his ring for his part in his second championship with the Golden State Warriors. I don't know, but as far as the present, as good as Zaza was at times during maybe the middle third of the season and kind of the beginning of the season as well, I'm kind of out on him right now. I know it's a minimum veteran guy, and what did you really expect from that that kind of salary slot? But I'm saying let's figure something else out for that backup center spot next year. You know, the craftiness and the passing, it only goes so far. He relies on that mid-range jumper a lot that really hasn't been very successful at all this season. And just the lack of rebounding. And I know Andre Drummond, such a contrast, obviously, when you go from your the best rebounder in basketball to Zaza Pachulia at center. But you just like to think that there's some guy who kind of can make up for some of that, because you got Pistons out there that are so used to Andre Drummond cleaning everything up, and then you got Zaza up there who, even when he's in decent position, can't get off the ground enough to grab that rebound. It seems like there could be a happy medium in there, and maybe that's a position that could kind of develop as a young player going forward. So we'll kind of see what the Pistons do with that. But speaking of bad things, let's take a look around the league from over the weekend as well. Friday night, the Memphis Grizzlies shorthanded, lead the Magic pretty much all game long, then blow it late, lose in overtime, giving Orlando a big win. The Nets go and beat LeBron and the Lakers on the road on Friday night as well. Only the Milwaukee Bucks came through for the Pistons as they beat the Miami Heat. But then, man, Saturday was all bad. In addition to the Pistons losing, the Hornets beat the Celtics as well. The Hornets at home in that one. And then the Heat won on a back-to-back in Washington. And then on Sunday, it only got worse. The Pistons lose to Golden State. And then for Charlotte, Jeremy Lamb banks at home a half-court shot in Toronto as the Hornets beat the Raptors at the buzzer. You've probably seen the clip by now, but if you haven't, pause the podcast, do a Google search, do a Twitter search, and find Jeremy Lamb knocking down the half-court bank. Unbelievable. Just an improbable weekend for the Hornets, beating the Celtics and then the Raptors at the buzzer on a half-court shot. They're sticking around. The Pistons are now down to the seventh place, the seventh seed in the Eastern Conference, trailing sixth-seeded Brooklyn by a half a game, and only up on the Heat, who are in eighth place by one game right now. The Pistons would still edge them out in a two-team playoff or a two-team tiebreaker if it's only those two that either tie for a spot or maybe tie for the final spot, with the Pistons getting that eighth spot if that tiebreaker comes into play. The Pistons are just inside the playoffs right now by two games over ninth place in Orlando, and Charlotte is lurking a game behind them. Again, we said it at the end of last week. We know it right now. Thursday's game, home against Orlando, probably coming off of a three-game losing streak unless the Pistons can sneak one from Denver on Tuesday night. That game on Thursday night against Orlando at home, the new most important game of the season, and it probably is actually the most important game of the season, not the tongue-in-cheek way that we sometimes use that moniker. But now, by the way, 538.com has the Pistons now dropped to a 95% chance of making the playoffs. So that's 19 out of 20, so pretty good still. And the site still has them finishing 42-40, so over 500 for the season. Still projected by that site to be the sixth seed, by the way, despite being behind Brooklyn right now. Although the line to make the playoffs, according to 538.com, has now risen to 40 wins. So you got to be a 40-win team to make the playoffs, meaning the Pistons would have to go 3-6 the rest of the way to make the postseason, and a couple of tough games in there at Oklahoma City, at Denver. So got to handle business against some of these teams that you got to beat and could use some help, unlike they didn't get over the weekend to help maybe make that collar a little bit less tight for the Pistons right now. And like I said, there could be some help tonight before the Pistons take the court again on Tuesday night in Denver. Brooklyn is in Portland for a late game, so we'll keep an eye on that one late, although no C.J. McCollum again for the Blazers, just like the Pistons had on Saturday night. The other big one is Philly in Orlando tonight. That's a big one. We need Philly to win that game. Both teams that the Pistons are rooting for tonight are favored. The 76ers on the road, favored by 2.5 in Orlando. Portland is favored by 6 at home against Brooklyn, despite no McCollum there. Allen Crabbe, by the way, is out again for Brooklyn against Portland. He has been out for the last 4 games, so that will continue for him. Brooklyn, by far, the toughest schedule left. Every game is rough for them. The Pistons now have the 11th toughest schedule, so pretty tough for them too, but that'll go down as Denver comes through off the schedule here in these next couple days. You could see this really coming down to the Pistons' final 2 games and the final 2 nights of the season, home against Memphis and at the Knicks. And like I said a few weeks back, beware of the Henry Ellenson revenge game to end the season. Now, again, Pistons still 95% chance of making the playoffs, still feeling pretty good about that, even if they do lose Tuesday night's game against Denver. But then you really got to take care of business on Thursday against Orlando. No reason to panic yet, but the Pistons, if the Pistons don't get help tonight from either Philly or Portland and then lose to Denver on Tuesday, we might be sounding the alarm a little bit heading into Thursday against Orlando. You got to get that one. You got to get that one on Thursday, not just for the Pistons win, but of course for an Orlando loss as well. One of 2 red letter games remaining, in addition to a home game against Charlotte too. You win those 2, you get back to 500, 9-9, with 2 wins on those red letter games, and they should be doing okay going forward. But is your company looking for a new way to reach customers? You guys can be mentioned right here, right now on Locked On Pistons. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with sponsors that they hear on their favorite shows. Our demographic is 98% males with more education and more earning power than traditional media audiences. So have your company sponsor Locked On Pistons. Go ahead and email me at Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com. To find out more. Up next, we're going to be talking Sweet 16 and how it might be dividing the Pistons locker room coming up later as this month continues. Well, if you're like me, you spent a lot of the last 4 days watching some college basketball, and that means you're probably like a lot of the Pistons too, because 8 Pistons had their alma maters reach the NCAA tournament this year, and they are slowly being whittled down in the brutal March way. 4 of the 8 Pistons had their team remain through the first weekend, so half of them advanced and half of them are out now. The Pistons teams went 6-2 in the first round, with Isaiah Whitehead's Seton Hall Pirates losing to Wofford, and also John Luer's Wisconsin Badgers bowing out, losing to the 12th-seeded Oregon Ducks, who went ahead and made the Sweet 16 themselves. And then in the second round, 2 more teams of the Pistons' slate lost, as Svi Mykhailiuk, his Kansas Jayhawks, lost to Auburn, and then Blake Griffin's Oklahoma Sooners lost to top-seeded Virginia in the second round. And then there were 4, and 4 really pretty good teams to keep an eye on from the Pistons' locker room. None of the teams that the Pistons have left, the 4 of them, are meeting each other in the next round, but that could happen in the following round. The Elite 8 could see the first time the 2 Pistons teams take on each other head-to-head, and that's if Luke Kennard's Duke Blue Devils advance past Virginia Tech, where they could play Kalen Lucas's Michigan State Spartans if they beat LSU in the Sweet 16. And then the winner of that game could end up playing in the Final 4 against Glenn Robinson III's Michigan Wolverines if the Wolverines get by first against Texas Tech and then either Gonzaga or Florida State in the Elite 8 there. And then after that, if that all goes according to schedule, very realistically, and these are all very realistic options, as these are all great teams we're talking about, waiting in the championship game could be Wayne Ellington's North Carolina Tar Heels, who are, of course, top-seeded themselves. So no trash talk yet, nothing dividing the locker room quite yet from a Pistons perspective, but it could be coming as these teams could be battling. The alma maters could be going up against each other very soon. And as I was thinking about this, it probably didn't occur to you. It didn't occur to me at the time anyways, and maybe someone pointed it out, but Wayne Ellington, who basically replaced Reggie Bullock, well, both were late first-round draft picks who bounced around a little bit. Bullock was the 25th pick in the draft, and Ellington was the 28th pick in the draft a couple years before. Bullock, a journeyman himself, now on his 4th team at 28 years old. Ellington was already on his 6th team at 28 years old, and of course, where I'm getting at with that, both are shooting guards, 3-point specialists, who went to North Carolina. So the Pistons went ahead and replaced one North Carolina shooting guard, journeyman, with another one, late first round pick as well. And both now at times sharing the wing, sharing the backcourt with another shooter, a Dookie in Luke Kennard. So interesting there. Who knows? Maybe we'll get Michigan and Michigan State playing in the Final Four. That could be an interesting matchup between Kalen Lucas and Glenn Robinson III. Or if Duke advances past Michigan State and gets into the finals, maybe we'll have a Duke-North Carolina final matchup, which would be a big thing in the Tobacco Road and also for the South as well, and a big thing for the Pistons locker room and a couple of their best shooting guards as well. March Madness makes for strange bedfellows, that's for sure. But thanks for listening, and remember, you can subscribe to the show on the new Himalaya podcast app, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. And when you get in your car, go ahead and remember to tell your smart device to play podcast Locked on Pistons. Hey, tough times ahead for Pistons fans. They're going to make a sweat. I thought we might breeze through into the playoffs here, clinching quietly over the next couple weeks. But it sounds like we're going to be going down to the wire. Wouldn't be Detroit sports and Pistons basketball without a little bit of taking your life taking some years off the end of your life as we get there, as we travel along on this journey. But this is your host, Matt Shook, of the Locked On Pistons podcast, saying thanks for listening. And we'll be talking Denver Nuggets on tomorrow's show. Hope to see you guys then. Thanks for listening.